Morning. So my guests today are Joe Rastetter, who is a longtime parishioner at St. Francis, and he is the former dining hall director since the 1990s. He's also the former pastoral council member, and he's also with Jobs with Justice. He was the Faith Labor founder. He's a union organizer, justice organizer, and activist. And also with us here today are Diana Schaefer, who's a longtime parishioner at St. Francis, former St. Francis park director, artist, teacher, peace and justice activist. Also with us here today are Albert Alter, a longtime parishioner at St. Francis, a longtime volunteer of the dining hall at St. Francis. And also with us today are Melinda Pittman, who is a longtime activist, artist, musician, singer, songwriter, theater personality. So we're going to be talking today about the kind of unfolding backlash that's been going on at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church on 12th Avenue in Southeast Portland. There was an earlier segment last week in which Melinda was interviewed by Lisa Loving on the evening news. So we're going to post that interview as context to this one. And that was really talking more about the global context of this kind of right-wing backlash. And we're going to hone in on really the local implications and the long history of St. Francis as being kind of at the heart of the social justice, peace and justice community in Portland. So can we hear just a little bit about the history of the dining hall at St. Francis and kind of the critical services that it has long been providing?
Well, yes. St. Francis Dining Hall has been in the Buckman neighborhood. The parish itself is probably pushing 135 years, but the dining hall started with the Catholic worker community, and they served for about 10 years, and then St. Vincent de Paul ran the program for about 15 years. And then in the mid-90s, after our school at St. Francis closed, the park was being used by a lot of homeless, houseless guests living in the park, and many, many new people coming up from Central America and Mexico and stuff. And so so many people needing services that in 1995, I believe, the parish made the hard decision to not continue our relationship with St. Vincent de Paul, but to run the program ourselves. So since 1995. We've been taking care, St. Francis, of the community. And our hours expanded, too. St. Vincent de Paul was roughly an hour and a half, serving dinner from 4:30 to 6 or so in the evening. Well, when I actually was hired to be the first director of St. Francis, we expanded our hours originally from 8 a.m. To 6 p.m. to meet the various needs that houseless people have.
And I would say also that at that time, there was more of a focused invitation from the community to make the dining hall, people who use the dining hall, to be members of the community. We didn't see any difference between the upstairs community and the downstairs community. We're all one.
Okay, and you also, for a very long time, ran a medical clinic out of the dining hall as well, up until just a few months ago. Is that right?
That's right. We had a long-term 16-year relationship with Multnomah County Health Division, and just within the last 3 or 4 months, that relationship has been severed, and all of those services, which included nurse practitioners, doctors, dentists, social workers, all of that has now stopped. And we believe that it's a money, who gets the money and who doesn't get the money, and the Archdiocese and it's CCHD, right, which is the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, who gives grants. So parishioners donate to the CCHD every year, and then that money is turned around to help service agencies and service works. So really, it is our donations that have funded the presence of Multnomah County, and now all of those services have stopped. So that means all the houseless community, and it's not only houseless, but low-income people, working poor people, people that are living in their cars and need some place to just be safe and to eat and have a cup of coffee and feel. Joe has a wonderful way of saying that about
I'm not going to be able to follow you directly this time.
People suffering.
But I would make the point that one of the unfortunate likely scenarios is that the dining hall will be closed within a few months or years. But in the meantime, to cut back the services to just a dinner hour. And I want to make the point that to have a day services, which include mail and showers and lockers for people, even a corral for shopping carts to protect their stuff, is so important, partly because you're dealing with the shame and the discrimination that street people face. And so to have a place to hang out where they're safe is just so essential. And it's something that St. Francis has provided for many, many years.
And I mean, I think it's important also to talk about the fact that, you know, increasingly we've got data on the fact that people are literally dying homeless on the streets of Portland. So I think the last homeless death count showed that about 79 people are dying every year, basically, you know, outside on the streets of Portland. And those people are, you know, disproportionately people who are struggling with chronic health issues, with disabilities, and the average age of death of a chronically homeless person is about 47. So these are really life-threatening conditions, and you're providing critical services that are keeping people alive.
Right. And in that vein, the idea hasn't been tried for a while, but I know a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago, politicians took a shot if they were men and not shaving for a few days and then going and living on the streets for a couple days. So I'd really challenge our new priest, Father George, and the Archbishop himself to not shave for a few days and to live on the streets and then see whether it's acceptable to cut the program to 1 or 2 hours or whether we should show up and have an all-encompassing services again throughout the day.
I just want to say I think that the Multnomah County covered the cost of the social worker and doctor, but that's been cut. And we, again, asking both the priest and the archdiocese, it's kind of hard to get a reason for why they are not coming now. Also, you talked about health dying on the streets. This is a place that's open from 10 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. at night, 6 days a week. You could, if it's 100 degrees outside, which it could be easily be in this time of year, or 0 degrees or below, we have a place they can come and stay. They can get a cup of coffee. We serve about 64 gallons of coffee a day. That's the size of the roller cart that you take to your sidewalk. Or that's also if you see a train car going down with a liquid train car that carries the bulk. That's the size of the coffee. We do about 90,000 meals a day. A year. It's a place to gather. We used to have a lot of people using the phone. How do you get a phone call? Now we do a service of charging your cell phones because a lot of homeless people or houseless people have cell phones. And that's they make a communication. They get mail there. They also can get showers and do their laundry. It's a full service. And do you need some medicine like aspirin? Do you need some glasses to read with, to read that application?
Socks, underwear.
Yeah.
Clothing.
It's more than just a meal service, and it's more than just a soup kitchen.
Yeah. Like we said, I mean, it's providing important human contact and forms of support and dignity that a lot of they can't find in a lot of other places.
And I think we also have to mention, along with that, forms of human dignity, just regular life as a human person. Diana was the park director for a couple of years, and we had, I'll let you talk to it, socials and things.
Well, we started this program because we had many houseless people who would just literally lay out in the park all day long, and it kept people from coming in. It didn't feel safe. So
they're doing a sort of basic human necessity, which is sleeping when they don't have access to sleeping anywhere else.
And so we set up a program where we had activities for children. We had a regular walkthrough, talking to people, seeing what they needed, just kind of making sure that things felt, people from the outside would feel free coming in. So, and then once a week, we had a concert series. We invited groups to come in and play on an evening, and we had refreshments. So we were trying to create an atmosphere where the neighborhood felt free to come in and see what was going on, but also to provide a safe environment for the houseless as well as people in the neighborhood. And, you know, it was pretty successful. We had lots of groups come in and play, and they were amazed at what a beautiful little park it was and how generous the people of St. Francis were to the houseless and to the community as well.
Okay. And is it fair to say, too, that a lot of the community, the feeding that goes on at Sisters of the Road, that's on the other side of the bridge.
Correct.
So you all are a kind of critical anchor in this kind of lower southeast region. And we're talking about people who are carrying oftentimes all their worldly possessions on their backs and who already have arthritis and any number of other disabling health conditions. So being able to stop here and rest is just absolutely critical to people's survival.
And right. I would comment that Sisters of the Road have been long allies with St. Francis. Mm-hmm. I remember in my days back in the 1990s when we had such an influx of many people. For a while, we took a program that St. Vincent de Paul had 175 people they would serve dinner to. It expanded to over 300, sometimes 350 people at the end of the month. And so Jenny Nelson and the good people there came over and helped teach us nonviolent training, how to get along, etc. And then the one other point I wanted to make is, unfortunately, have I heard of a model for Christian service, which was get them in, feed them, get them out. What kind of dinner program is that? I think at St. Francis, we really do aspire to learn people's names, to learn their stories, to develop relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And you know something? That's messy. It's difficult. It takes a lot of time. And you can't do that in an hour and a half a day. You need to open your hearts and your buildings for much longer hours.
And so just to be clear, we're not talking about an attack from the neighborhood association or from, you know, people in the neighborhood. We're talking about this attack coming directly from the Catholic Church itself. And I think that this little detail was an interesting one, that they've actually removed the name of Assisi from the Catholic, from the website for the church, so that they're basically, the Catholic hierarchy seems to be rejecting the legacy of St. Francis of Assisi, who very much walked with the poor.
Well, I would say this began a year ago when our new priest came, and all of a sudden the archdiocese was doing things that we had no knowledge of or did not even ask us what changes we'd like to see. Apparently their concern was that our whatever we projected to the neighborhood in Southeast was not exactly about Southeast. It was about, well, what we wanted it to be, what's mostly about the dining hall and our service and our
social
legacy
justice,
at St. Francis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because of that, things started changing, and we've never really had a reason given to us why what we project is not good enough, even though it had been for many years. I guess that's...
And so if we could ask the KABU audience, because this is not just a Catholic issue, obviously. This is an issue of social justice. And these are refugees on our doorstep, and we want to continue to open our doors to that. So the number for the Catholic Archdiocese and the Archbishop is Sample, and he is the one that's pulling the strings. He's the hierarchical head. His phone number, 503-234-5334. You'll have to go through a switchboard. But I would ask the KABU listeners to please call the Archdiocese and try to talk to Alexander Sample, the Archbishop, and ask him why he is choosing to make so many people suffer through his desire to make this McDonald's Catholic Church out of the social justice, peace and justice calling that the people of St. Francis, all of our communities, are trying to respond to and continue to respond to as best we can. We sold our park, our beloved park, to make low-income housing. And so we as a St. Francis community are willing and called to be and accompany the poor. And so we need to ask the Archbishop why he's against that. Again, that number, Alexander Sample, 503-234-5334. Thanks for calling him.
Okay, and you recently also held a protest, didn't you, at the Archdiocese office?
We did. We had some picket signs out there. The one that I particularly enjoyed carrying was the Down with Misogyny, another manifestation of Archbishop Sample and our current priest is the assertion that women are demons, that we are born demonic. And yes.
What was the context for that statement? And where did it appear?
The priest has posted things like that on his Facebook, by the way. Yes, very right-wing stuff. And And where it also came from was a community meeting where we demanded to talk to him. This was a year ago. Yeah. And he said there will never again be inclusive language at St. Francis.
Okay,
that was the beginning of that.
And we're talking about a parish that, for what, over 20 years had a female parish administrator, Val Chapman. So you really were at kind of the cutting edge of pushing the, you know, patriarchal structure of the Catholic Church.
And women involved in all levels of the pastoral council and liturgy. And very, very well studied and heartfelt people that have just been cut out.
Okay. And so, I mean, again, that question of why should people who are not Catholic care about this issue? I think in terms of the services that the dining hall provides, you made that great argument. Are there other reasons that people should care about this backlash and sort of attack on St. Francis?
Well, I think there are, because I think it's a political issue. Steve Bannon is one of the heads of the Catholic conservative movement and has that thinking, that kind of clericism and feudalism has inculcated the U.S. bishops especially. And so it's Diana
John Paul II and Pope Benedict.
Right, were the two very conservative recent popes. And so there's Bannon's running a movement to try to get rid of Pope Francis. Because
correct.
He's too much of a socialist.
Yes, you've really got that political struggle going on in the church globally, and this is a manifestation of it locally.
And the Catholics have money, and they are consolidating their conservative hierarchical position with their money and their holdings.
Okay, and just a heads up that both the Immigrants' Rights Day Labor Organization, they also are housed at St. Francis, so you should be thinking about that. So
They were housed at St. Francis. They have been thrown out from the St. Francis property.
Really?
Okay, is that a recent development? It sounds like not everybody's aware of it. When did that happen?
Well, I don't know that part.
All right. Well, we're gonna have you back again on soon, we hope,
and teaser.
Do a follow-up segment. Yes. So thank you so much to my guests today, longtime parishioners and volunteers at the St. Francis of Assisi Dining Hall on 12th Avenue. Yeah.
Thank you, Desiree.
Thank you,
Kabu.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.